Hey folks, it's Audacity and Loving Life, and I'm your host, Sean Matos. And I wasn't going to do a podcast because it wasn't a great day for me. Today is the 10-year anniversary of my dog, Chi-Chi, passing away, and I wasn't there for her. And it just fucking rips my heart out to know that with everything, she was with me through... that I wasn't there for her last moments here, you know, and she was looking for me. She literally died and came back to life 13 minutes later and was looking for me. And the vet's wife, who was the anesthesiologist, left and went home crying because she couldn't even handle the fact that, you know, she died and came back to life because she was so dead set on wanting to see me before she passed away. And I showed up 5 minutes late, you know. And I thought if I drove out of town an hour away that it was going to possibly change the possibility that she would die and that she would live because, you know, for whatever reason, I felt like if I hung out there that then I was just waiting for her to die. But if I left town and just did my thing that... she wouldn't die, and, you know, and I was in Wegmans when I got the call that she died, and, I just dropped everything on the floor, the groceries, whatever, and just fucking walked out, and people were like, what's wrong, because I was crying my eyes out, and I said, my dog just fucking died, you know. And my sister was with me. And he says, do you want me to keep the body here so you can see her before say goodbye? I said, yes, please. You know, I said, I'm an hour away. And we hit traffic and everything because it was rush hour. And like 13 minutes later, he called me. He goes, Sean, I wasn't fucking kidding you when I said your dog was dead. I swear to God, your dog was dead. My wife is the anesthesiologist. She witnessed it. The other fucking nurse here witnessed it. Your dog was dead. She's back. She took a deep breath and she's alive again. And she's looking around the room for you. She's waiting to see you. And, you know, I don't know how much longer she's going to live. But she's fucking alive again. I can't explain it. I've never seen anything like it. And my wife left in tears because she's never seen anything like it. And she just couldn't. She couldn't handle it. She had to go home, you know. And I said, okay, I'm going to try and get there as fast as I can. Because I want to be able to see her and say goodbye to her, you know. And when I got there, I was 5 minutes late. And her eyes were still open, looking for me in her room. And I can't get that out of my head ever, that I wasn't there for her, you know? So, I'm sorry, but... yeah. So, and anybody who knows, who's had a dog... or dogs, you know, but she was special. She was my, like, soulmate dog, you know. I know everybody that has had that special pet, you know, especially if they've gone through so many things in life with you and all these hard times and stuff that I probably wouldn't have gotten through without her being in my life. Because people... most people, you know, they're just like, yeah, you know, same thing with being sick. Yeah. I'll take care of you for about a week, but then you're on your own kind of a thing. You know, it takes special people to stick through, the things like what I did for my sister and, you know, pretty much gave up my job and everything and just sat here for a month with her and stuff. You know, but most people wouldn't do that. I know that 99.9% of people wouldn't do that for each other in this world, and it sucks, you know. But my dog was, she was fucking unreal. She was, we used to sit there and howl with each other. You know, we were so connected, you know. And God, I miss her. I fucking miss her every day of my life. And I, you know, at first I wasn't going to adopt. I wasn't going to get another dog or anything. Because I was like, I can't handle. After losing her, I don't know if I can handle losing another dog, you know. And then, and somebody said, you know, told me, if you want to show Chi-Chi how much you loved her, save another dog's life, you know. And then I was like, you know what? Then Scout came along, and I was doing that rescue ride down to Florida with him, and I fell in love with him. And of course, he's the same breed as Chi-Chi, and has almost the same type of personality and everything. And I was like, you know what? I love Chi-Chi so much, so I'm gonna adopt another dog, you know. And I'm glad, because Muffin had her anxiety and stuff, and it was hard for her to get along with other dogs. She was fearful of other dogs and stuff. So, you know, Scout and her are best buddies, man. They're brother and sister, and you know, they love each other. And it was the best thing I ever did, you know. But if I lose them, it's gonna rip my heart out for sure, you know. You know, in honor of Chi-Chi, you know, I wanted to save a couple other dogs' lives, you know, or save more if I could have a whole fucking farm full of fucking animals, you know. So today was rough, but, you know, I dressed up, tried to make myself feel better. I dressed up for work, and, you know, I got all these, like, flirtatious looks from women. And one of my workers, I noticed this one woman, but I didn't say anything. She was, oh, yeah, she's checking you out. And I said, nah, I thought it was in my head, but she is, isn't she? She goes, yeah, she's fucking goo-goo-eyeing shit out of you. And I'm like, why? I don't understand. She goes, well, first of all, you look good. You're dressed up, and you look good. She probably thinks you're a guy. I said, yeah, I think she does. So, yeah, I got a lot of them looks today. But it was fucking funny. My knee was fucking absolutely killing me on top of it. And I've been popping ibuprofen and fucking Tylenol at the same time. I was in such pain last night. And, you know, thanks. I have the balance bed, and I kind of like lifted, because you're supposed to elevate, you know, your knee or whatever above your heart and stuff. And I tried doing that, but it seemed like it hurt more, you know. And then I had it wrapped, and I wrapped it. I had ice on it, and I took it off, and I took a hot shower. And I was just trying to do anything, because the pain was atrocious. It really was. But it was well worth it, because I got to ride my bike. Would I do it again? Yeah, I'll fucking suffer through it, because it was such a good day that Trent and I had. Riding and talking and joking, and it's just a beautiful, it was so beautiful out, you know. And of course, being out in nature and shit like that, like him and I were talking, and he was like, I could just ride forever, Sean. And I said, I know, I can too, like two little kids riding our bicycles, you know. I said, but it's the same thing with like motorcycle riding and stuff like that. It's just, or ATV ride and stuff. It's like, you're not thinking about anything but fucking enjoying the ride, you know? And I love driving too. You know, I just don't love driving where you're with assholes who stop and there's no stop sign, or they're 20 miles an hour in a 55, and you're like, okay, well, why are we driving slow? Is there a truck in front of you? No, I'm just driving fucking slow because I'm an idiot, and, you know, and why don't the cops pull them people over at 20 miles an hour in a 55? No, but they'll pull over somebody who's going, you know, 60 in a 55, you know, because they're trying to pass the one who's 20 miles an hour, you know. So, yeah, but, shit. Yeah, and then here, my married friend, First of all, I let her know that, you know, last time I saw her, like, look, I feel this is going somewhere where it shouldn't be going. So let's just be friends and just have that in our minds, that nothing's going to happen. You're married. I don't want to go there. It's bad karma. You're 31 years younger than me, and you're married, and it's, you know, just like, and, you know, I'm still, like, not that I'm never going to be with that bartender. It's just I need to heal from that situation because it is very confusing, questionable, leaves me with a lot of questions and confusion, and, you know, and I'm hurt by it because I really thought she was my person, or at least the worst case scenario, we would have been really good fucking friends, like how you and I are becoming, you know. So at the end of the day, I just want to leave it at friends, and we can joke around and all that. You know, I don't want it to change, except for the fact that there's not going to be, we're not working towards anything with each other, you know. So, you know, that was cool, and that's that, you know. So she quit her job yesterday, and rightfully so, because when you get mistreated and your management doesn't back you up and lets people, mistreat you and disrespect you and everything, and they're more worried about the company than the person, then, you know, fuck you, goodbye, I'm not doing with this. And I'm proud of her for doing that, because, like I said, we're just a number when we work for people. And, you know, their bottom line is all they're caring about. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about how you're treated and whatever. And you know, most places. And so when you get to see the writing on the wall, it's best you just walk the fuck off. Because you know what? Just like they feel like they can get somebody else to replace you, you can also get somebody else to replace them. You know, you can also... I feel it's all about divine timing. It's all about, you know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Things don't pass you if they're meant for you, you know. And same thing with jobs, you know. Like when I walked off of Ocean's casino job, you know, I let them know exactly why I was leaving, you know. But they had already mistreated me enough. And showed me how much they were going to value me in that very short time, which is they weren't. So I was like, fuck this shit. I'm out of here. I don't need a job that much. And anybody that I talked to that worked at that casino did the same fucking thing. They left. You know, overworked, underpaid, undervalued, disrespected, you know, the whole fucking thing. You know, so I got to read the writing on the wall in a day and a half or whatever it was. And I was like, I'm out of here. Fuck this fucking place. You know, and I let them know why. So, you know, I turned in my badge and I let them know why. And you sit there and you have an orientation about how you fucking care about people. And you don't give a fuck about anybody here. You don't, you know, and I've seen it. So fuck that shit. I ain't going to be one of your minions, you know? So that was her attitude, you know, but we were talking tonight and everything, and, you know, it's just like, you know, we're definitely going to keep in touch with each other. And she's like, you're such a, I just fucking love you. You're such an awesome human being, you know? And I said, yeah, man. I said, you know, like we have the same political, religious views, you know? You know, she, you know, it's like, she's like, you're emotionally intelligent, you're a fucking emotional person, you're passionate, you're fucking funny as hell, you know, you crack me, you're crazy, you crack me the fuck up, you know, I love that, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, so she's like, I want you to come out. She has a farm. Look, she's from Vermont. Her name is Natalie Wood. But it's not, but it is, but you'll never know whether it is or not. And she, and not the actress, the actress that's dead somewhere in the ocean somewhere. No, just kidding. So that's mean. I loved Natalie Wood. She was an awesome actress. And I do believe that she was thrown overboard. Hello. You know, they were like, oh, fuck it. And then they fucked each other, whatchamacallit, and what's in, no, just kidding. I'm not going to get into what my theory is about that situation. But anyway, yeah, so she's from Vermont. They have a farm. They have, you know, they grow crops of, you know, vegetables and corn and everything you can think of. They have Mexican workers that work on the farm. They have all kinds of farm animals. She gives me free eggs, which I love eggs, and I love farm fresh eggs, and so I get them, and they're the best farm fresh eggs, you know. And they have farm animals and stuff, and she doesn't have to work. She doesn't have to work, but she wants to, and she wanted to work. You know, she liked working there. She liked working there because I was there too. You know, being able to see each other and talk to each other and stuff and joke around and shit like that. But it's probably best because, you know, it's better to be friends where there is not an audience, you know, in that place. So it is better because then they get in your business and shit like that and everybody's talking shit and, you know, the whole fucking thing. So at the end of the day, shit happens for a reason and, you know, we're gonna end up being really good friends. I see that already, you know. And I'll get to meet her husband and everything like that and get to see all the animals and stuff. And, you know, like we were talking about even, like, getting a horse, you know, so, like, I want a horse again, you know, and I might be able to get a horse and keep it at the farm, depending on, you know, finances and stuff like that. I gotta figure it in my budget, because it's not cheap to have a horse. It's not, you know, so, between the boarding, I don't know how much she'll charge me to board it, but, you know, see what happens, you know, so, pretty interesting day. It was kind of boring, really. Not much to do. You know, and they're so happy when they see me, people, you know, when I come into work, you know, either place is, they're happy to see me because, you know, they know I'm going to get shit done or whatever, you know, so I'll be in Vineland, I think, tomorrow, so, yeah. But, okay, I gotta get going, man. I gotta go to bed. I gotta get up early tomorrow morning. Shoot, but I do love I love how my boss sets my schedule up. So, I'll work 8 to 4:30 tomorrow, and then I'll have off Wednesday, and then I go into work. In Hamilton, 2 to 10:30, like I said I would, because that's how it's rolling. But I know my days are going to be changing, you know, days off are going to be changing, but I'm still going to have that, like, every other weekend thing. But, yeah, I might end up getting Thursdays off, Tuesdays off, you know, Monday off, whatever. But I'm not going to tell people my schedule, you know, too much, you know, because it's none of your business, really, but... I mean, it is for the parking lot stalkers if they want. But they can hit me up and ask me, because I'm sure they know my phone number and my address. They can knock on the door. Hey, where are you working tomorrow so I can sit in the parking lot? Because I got nothing better to do in my life, and I just figured I'd, you know, do that. So, yeah, go ahead, do it, you know. But, yeah, bunch of nibby-nosy motherfuckers, I tell you. It's unreal, you know. Like Kelly. Kelly's nosy. Kelly is nosy. Kelly will admit to being nosy. And that's good, because, you know, you want that. She's not a Karen, though. She's just nosy, you know. There's nosy Karens out there. They're the ones that get on my fucking nerves, you know. But hopefully Kelly's feeling much better today, and she's in a better mood. And the podcast was to her satisfaction. I'm sure I'll hear from her if it's not. There is a movie I wanted to take her to see called Sasquatch Sunset, but it's funny as hell. It's going to be in the Bleecker, I think it's Bleecker Street Theater. up in New York. But it's an independent film. And, excuse me. Elvis Presley's granddaughter acts in it. You know, but it looks fucking hilarious. But I'm only messing with you, Kelly, honey. I love you. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of you. I just, because of the joke that we had between us, I wanted to take you to see that movie because I think we would laugh our ass off. But it's up in New York, and obviously I'm not taking you all the way up to New York to see a movie, so it ain't happening. But, yeah. I'm in this dilemma, okay? So, one of the investigators wants to drive the New York and us carpool together. And I was like, yeah, okay, because I could take him for, or, you know, I could take him for, you know, a 2.5 hour ride up, 2.5 hour ride back. I could deal with that. But then he goes, oh, such and such might come with us. And I'm like, well, okay, well, now I can't deal with that. And he goes, well, come on, he's not a bad... I said, he isn't. I love him to death, but I can't... He gives me anxiety, man, because he's always in that negative mode, like, all the time. It's spewing negativity out of his mouth all the time and bitching about this and bitching about that. And it's like bitching Betty. Like, I don't want to hear that. Like, I grew up in that shit, and I don't want to... I don't care. I know everybody has to go through those modes to get in a bad mood or whatever, but it's like he's almost like in a permanent bad mood. I don't like that. It brings my energy down, drains me, and it gives me anxiety. You know, I just don't want to be around that. And I'm not going to be able to survive, you know, a good 5 hour fucking ride, you know, up and back with him. And then on top of it, in the meeting and what he's going to have to say about stuff or whatever. And, you know, like, I don't know. I can't handle it. And he goes, well, maybe you can bring a headset. And I said, oh, that's a good idea. I could bring a headphone and fucking tune him out and blast my fucking music so that I don't hear nothing, you know, from anybody, you know. I could do that, you know. So I said, and then he's like, well, this one might come, and this one might, now it's car full. And I'm like, now I can't do that. Because now I'm going to feel claustrophobic and then fucking anxiety-ridden because Mr. Negative Man is going to be spewing all negativity out his mouth the whole fucking car ride up and back. So, no, I don't, now I know I'm going to probably end up driving my fucking car unless I find somebody else to carpool with, but... Yeah, that just pretty done the deal. It done the deal for me because I was like, what? Nah, I'll be fucking soon. I'll be like, yo, can you pull over right here on the top of the George Washington Bridge? What do you do? I need to get out of the car and just plunge to my death because I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm at the end of my rope. We haven't even gotten out of New York yet. And he's already gotten on my fucking nerves too much. I'm like, I'll be one of those statistics. I can't tell you. I just can't take it no more. I'll just fucking hop right out of that car and jump over the fucking railing. I'll be like, this has got to be better than fucking sitting in this car for another fucking 3.5 hours or 2.5 hours going home and 2.5 hours coming up. Now, one way or another, I'm jumping off that fucking bridge because I'm not going to fucking be able to handle it, you know? So, yeah, I think it's best that I just fucking drive my own car. I'll listen to my own fucking tunes or whatever podcast I can find or whatever, or I'll make a podcast and bitch about the fucking traffic to everybody so everybody can have road rage with me as I go up there because I'm sure it's going to be crackhead crazy, you know? As usual, look, I'm used to the trip. Like I said, I 25 years off and on going up to New York, you know, it ain't nothing new, but it would have been nice to actually have somebody else in the driver's seat and me just really enjoy chilling and the ride and everything. But that's not going to happen. I can see it right now. I'd rather deal with the aggravation of driving up there by myself than to, deal with the negativity that's going to be coming out of his fucking mouth the whole fucking time. And then being crowded with other people in there and everything. And, you know, hey, if I want to fart, I can fart. I cough, you know, sneeze. I can burp. I can, you know, curse people out. You know, fuck, what the fuck are you doing? You're in the wrong lane. I can do that shit and make myself laugh and say, what the fuck is he wearing? What the, you know, that kind of shit. You know, I can be my own comedy show going up and back. So, Muffin. Do you seriously have to do that? She's like, I don't mind you doing that, but you spit, you're cleaning and you're spitting on me. Like, yuck. I love you, dude. I do. I love you, baby. It's okay. Do whatever you want, honey. That's okay. I'll survive it. So anyway, and Scout wants to lick my feet. That's okay. You can lick your, there, lick my feet and Muffin can spit all over herself and get me all wet. Washing herself. Hello. My Chi-Chi. Boy, I fucking love the fucking hell out of her. I miss her, you know. It's crazy life, you know. That's why it's so, like, important to... And people think I'm nuts about making time for my dogs. And people make fun of me, too, you know. Oh, you gotta go home to your dogs. Oh, they're just dogs. No, they're not. You know, they're my partners in life. You know, like I took responsibility to take care of them, and that's what I'm doing. You know, I want to make sure I take care of them and give them time and quality time and love and, you know, special foods and everything else. I want their life to be special, you know, so. And you can make fun of me all you want because they're better than any person I've ever fucking met. So, you know, at the end of the day, I'm not wasting my love on them. I'm not wasting my effort. I'm not wasting my money. I'm not wasting my time like I have with human beings that have shit all over me. You know, they don't shit all over me. They love me unconditionally. But there's so many people that I've dealt with in my life who took advantage of every ounce of generosity and love and caring and effort and all that from me. So, if anything, people should bitch about, oh, are you going to waste your time with her or him or whatever? Instead of, are you going to waste your time on your dogs? It's not a waste at all, ever, you know. So, anyway, I'm going to get going, and I will talk to you guys later.